Hi everyone, it's Judy. Happy New Year and welcome to the first podcast of 2020 with On Track. Today we just want to do something short and simple to bring in the new year and shine a light on one of our design community's brightest stars, Jeremy Blum. Jeremy has been a keynote speaker at Altium Live twice and has been on this podcast twice. And he's recently released an expanded and updated edition of a book called Exploring Arduino that he wrote and released originally back in 2013. In case you've missed Jeremy in the past, we're going to play a few clips so you can get to know Jeremy before we get started. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. In this first clip with Jeremy, he talks about the work he does as the head of engineering at Shaper Tools.
So I'm the director of engineering at a company called Shaper, based in San Francisco. We make handheld robotic power tools powered by computer vision. And I've been here for about 4 years now, overseeing the embedded software team and the electrical engineering here. I'm the only electrical engineer here and have been for the last 4 years or so, in addition to all the other things that goes along with a small startup company and everything that has to happen to bring a product to market. So I've been doing that for the last 4 years. Before that, I was at Google X for a few years.
Jeremy is nothing if not a prolific geek. Or is he a nerd? Let's see what he has to say about it.
I think geek is the cool term now.
I think so, too.
I go with geek, I think. Although, if we're being totally honest, I'm also a nerd, right? If you consider a nerd to be the person who is really into reading into, like, super in-depth topics and getting really in the weeds and stuff, I'm definitely that, too. So I'm kind of guilty of all the above.
Jeremy was a popular YouTuber way before it was popular to be one. He still has a massive audience of subscribers. Listen to this.
Very young, you started this YouTube channel, and you've recorded an awful lot of it, educational videos and really helpful stuff for makers, hackers, and different people that sort of use that as a jumping off place and inspiration. So what inspired you to do that in the first place?
In the first place, well, so I think the very first video I published was me building a computer, and it was my first experience building a computer. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I just thought it was really cool, and I wanted to make a video of it, and my friends and I were already hobbyist videographers. We really liked making short movies, you know, like kids make short movies, action movies, things like that, but we had already developed that into a business. And so we'd gotten pretty good at it. When I was 12 or 13, a friend of mine and I from high school started our first business, which was doing video production, and it was pretty successful for like weddings and birthday parties, video montages, things like that. Now you can like press one button on your MacBook and it'll do it for you. But we lived in this golden age where people hadn't figured that out yet, so we could do it as 12-year-olds and charge money for it. Frequency of my postings has dropped off considerably, especially in the last 2.5 years or so that I've been at Shaper because I've been so focused here.
Yeah. Okay, well, it looks like you still have like 160,000 subscribers and a whole bunch. So it looks like people are still engaging with your stuff, even if you're not keeping up with it. So,
oh, yeah, they do.
Kudos to you.
Did you know that Jeremy's first job out of university was at Google, where he helped co-develop Google Glass? Check out this clip.
My first full-time job was at Google X, yeah.
So, what kind of things did you work on Google that you wouldn't have to kill us to tell us?
most of it's pretty out there now, so I can talk about most of it now. Not all of it, but most of it. The majority of my time there was spent working on the electrical engineering and system architecture for what became Google Glass Enterprise Edition. So there was the first version of Google Glass that came out to consumers, and I won't spend the time going into all the social implications of that product and the things that were done poorly or things that were done well. But my focus was on what became the enterprise edition of the product, which is totally new hardware and is used by a variety of very large companies and medical practices around the country now as an augmented reality platform for basically helping with productivity. So that's a piece of hardware that's basically an upgraded version of Google Glass from what most people saw.
Right.
All new processor and everything inside of everything's new and different. But that's used by big companies, like I think Boeing uses it in their assembly line to do cable assemblies, things that they used to have to look at a manual. They now see heads up and they get feedback as they're doing it, and they like cut their time, assembly time in half. There's a bunch of startups building software on top of the enterprise version of Glass now for medical applications. So doctors use it in their patient interactions to pull up medical records and things like that in real time and make them more efficient and more productive. And there's a bunch of other applications as well. Those kinds of applications are the things that originally got me excited about going into work on that project. Don't get me wrong, I have several pairs of Glass. I don't really wear them anymore, but there was a period where I wore them almost every day and used them for all the mundane things they showed in the original marketing videos, like sending text messages and getting turn-by-turn navigation and stuff. And they were cool for that, but the applications that they ended up developing for the enterprise edition of it, I think, are where an augmented reality platform really shines. So I'm proud to have worked on that.
In this final clip, Jeremy talks about his updated and expanded edition of Exploring Arduino.
You mentioned earlier that you've written a book, and it's called Exploring Arduino, right?
Yes.
And are you... the book that you just finished writing, is it an updated version of that or a whole new book?
It's a second edition, so it's updated and expanded from the first edition. So the first edition came out in 2013, and this edition should be out before the end of the year. I think you can pre-order it now on Amazon, but it should be coming out within the next couple months.
Okay.
It's considerably expanded from the first edition. Obviously, you know, errata corrected and things like that, but this one is now in full color, which is really nice, because the first one, if you got the ebook, it was in color, but many people bought the print edition, which was in black and white, and it's kind of difficult when I say, connect the red wire here and the green wire here.
Yeah.
Like, which one's the red wire, which is the green wire?
You cannot do technical books in black and white. I've learned this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one small part of it, but I've expanded considerably. And since I wrote the first edition, when I wrote the first edition of the book, I was doing my master's. I had limited experience in the real world designing, you know, mass production products. I have 6 or 7 years of experience doing it since that first edition came out. So I've pulled in a lot of that knowledge, and there's a lot more kind of sidebars and features and all this stuff about the real product creation side of these things. So when I talk about, there's a new section there talking about accelerometers and microelectromechanical machines. I don't just say, or microelectromechanical systems, sorry. I don't just say like, connect the accelerometer and the signal will go up and down as you shake it up and down. There's like a 2 or 3 page explanation of that. Here's what a MEMS device is. Here's how it's made. Here's how it works. Here's why they're so cheap now. Here's what the supply chain looks like for them in the cell phone industry and why you can get them cheaply, things like that. There's a new section added about stepper motors and explaining exactly how they're driven and the electromagnetic concepts behind that. There's a bunch more stuff about wireless connectivity, Bluetooth connectivity, Wi-Fi connectivity, RF connectivity. There's a whole explainer about what the hell the electromagnetic spectrum is as it relates to electronic product design, which is something that you learn about in university, but there's a surprising disconnect between, okay, I've taken my E&M course and I'm programming an Arduino to blink an LED. Like, how are those two things related? And as you know, they're very heavily related, right? If you ask anyone who's speaking at Altium Live or anyone who's like at PCB West, they'll repeat over and over again, the energy is not in the copper, the energy is in the planes between the copper. It's all about the electromagnetic waves. And So I talk about then, and it's kind of just a deeper dive into all these topics and mm-hmm. not just, okay, how do you make an Arduino blink, but understanding what's actually happening there and giving people an introduction to microelectronics and embedded systems, software design, and product design that's a little bit more holistic than just blink an Arduino. It's like, how do you actually impart someone with knowledge that they can use and expand to other platforms and other microcontrollers and more sophisticated custom systems and things like that.
It's, you know, I find it really interesting. In my role here as the person that pulls in all the speakers for Altium Live, I think it's really fascinating this year that out of our, whatever, 8 keynotes, you know, 4 in San Diego, 4 in Frankfurt, 3 of you have something to do or say about Arduino. I mean, you're obviously the author, but Bob Martin from Microchip is also speaking. And, you know, professional engineers obviously are prototyping with Arduinos these days. So the lines are blurring between the maker and the pro maker and the pro. Like, the lines are blurring a little bit because they have gotten good at, you know, it's good enough to do some pretty cool things. And it's interesting to see how the implications of all this bleeds into each other, right?
It is. And I know Bob talked about this on his podcast they did with you last week about Arduino really being more about the software, the ease of software development. And it's really true. And like in a lot of our factory systems that we use at Shaper, I use Arduino to program automation for factory tests and things like that. It's like, why not? It's
right?
Like 100 times faster than any other thing.
Right.
And it's just, it makes that stuff easy and it makes it more accessible to people who might not be embedded firmware engineers, you know, by profession, but are tangentially touching those things. And it's nice to be able to know how those things work.
And Eric said, you know, he's got these master engineering students, and he says, basically, if I use Arduino, you know, in one class, I can have them writing simple code. You know, it's not like a whole semester, right?
Right. You don't have to spend a week trying to get your build system set up and debugging GCC and getting all the things to link correctly. And no, you just write the code and load it on over USB.
Which is
stupidly easy.
Again, a great enabler, but it's just funny to see how these worlds are colliding.
Thanks for joining today. I hope you enjoyed this brief podcast about Jeremy Blum. If you'd like to get his book, I'll put the links in the show notes below where you can get it either in ebook form or a hardbook form through Amazon. So I hope you enjoy that. Today, we are also going to be giving away 2 signed copies of Jeremy's book. And we'd like to give that to you to thank you for giving us your input about what topics or what guests you might like to see on the On Track podcast this year in 2020. We'll see you next time. Happy New Year. Until next time, remember to always stay on track.